You're listening to a 95BFM podcast.
I stumbled across an article that was published on RNZ at the beginning of the pandemic about how COVID-19 could impact the future. University of Otago Associate Professor Sarah Walton was the expert cited, so I reached out to her to hear more about how the pandemic might change the way we live and work. Sarah teaches and researches in the area of sustainability and business with a future focus. She was involved in conducting a survey with the University of Otago in conjunction with the University of Galway in Ireland during the first level 3 lockdown at the end of April. The survey asked people about their experiences in lockdown, how productive they were, how they found working from home, what sort of technology they had, what worked and what didn't work. There were 2,500 respondents. I spoke to Sarah about how the survey has shown that COVID-19 has already impacted our work life, whether the pandemic will continue to change the expectations for work, whether we are moving away from globalised societies and back to national-focused societies, or also whether we will ever go back to normal. I began by asking Sarah how COVID-19 will impact the way we live and work.
In terms of what we've been through this last year would have been quite totally unthinkable this time last year. So we've had a lot of changes and we've had to deal with those changes really rapidly. We've had to adapt really quickly. And I think that's really telling how quickly we can adapt to various different things that occur. One of the key things, I guess, around working is particularly working from home and having more flexibility about how we work and where we work. And I guess one of the things that we've been pushing at the work Futures team here has been around looking at an outcomes-based model. So focusing on the work that we do rather than where we do it, we think is really important. But we've seen big changes as well in terms of going into levels and different ways that we've operated on the different levels, and particularly I guess at the moment our biggest impact is around border restrictions and how that's affecting tourism industries, even education as well in terms of our international students. And these impacts are going to continue on next year, we know that, because really until we get a vaccine we're actually in this kind of limbo of having to be very aware of what it is we're doing.
So before you mentioned like having to jump in and out of levels and people sort of getting used to the idea of working from home, is, I suppose, the academic thought that we will grow to become a society that is more work at home focused than I go out to work to start at 9 o'clock and I come home at 5?
I think in terms of the academic thought would be more around flexibility. So not necessarily we're all going to start working from home, because that doesn't work for all different types of jobs. So that's, you know, one really important thing to note is that working from home only works for certain types of jobs, and particularly that is where you've got that outcome focus as well, or you don't have to have a customer service role, for example, because sometimes you've got to be there fronting the customer. So we will still have that going to work, and we're also social people, so we do actually quite like to be with other people. And a number of us got zoomed out, as we kept calling it, you know, over these constant Zoom meetings. So there will always be a place for those interactions in the workplace, but we can be more flexible about that, and we've shown that we can be more flexible. We can trust our employees to work from home, and in fact sometimes they're more productive working from home, and that was what came out in our survey, was that we saw that people rated themselves as being more productive during lockdown. So that was really interesting. So just trying to smash some of those myths around people when they work from home is not productive and they're forever, you know, doing something else other than working. That wasn't really what happened during COVID, and therefore we can have more flexibility to blend our work and family life balance in ways that perhaps might even work better for us.
That's interesting about that productivity, that people believed they were more productive at home. What sort of indicators were there that arose to say that people were more productive at home over the lockdown period than perhaps they would have been at work?
So that was self-reported. So that was people thinking they were more productive working from home. Partly we had things, I mean, our survey was 2,500 people, so let's, you know, be aware of the data that we have. And 80% of our survey respondents were women. So that's also really interesting because women have tended to fare not so well during these redundancies and job losses as well. So really interesting phenomenon that we had so many women. And the same survey was done in Ireland, and they also had about 80% of the participants as female. So, yeah, we're not quite sure why, but we expected perhaps to hear more from women about the balance between looking after the children during lockdown and work. We had a bit of that, but we had the perceived more productivity. Partly that is because there was a lot of talk, a lot of comments around not having to commute. And so just found that they were at work and able to work and get things done. So it is self-reported. But I know myself when I work from home and I'm away from interruptions, I just get work done.
Obviously, talking about these changes, moving towards more flexibility when it comes to working, will we start seeing these changes sort of happen all of a sudden, or will it be something that happens quite smoothly?
I think we're starting to see it in some places where working from home has become more acceptable. Anecdotally, I guess I've seen that amongst people that I've talked to, you know, particularly because they said in Auckland went back into lockdown again. So it's sort of a little, you know, you guys had to do it all over again. Whereas we sort of were carrying on, but went back into that level two, and it has that heightened level of awareness around everything. But no, I think the general acceptance that people, when they do work from home, are working, I think has started to shift things. Generally, I think people also felt relieved to be able to go back into the workplace as well after lockdown. So people sort of enjoyed being able to go back to work. So that's, and I know that businesses enjoyed having people back and at work as well. So there's a real mixture. So it's not that it's going to shift radically, but we're hoping to see, and we're going to resurvey as well in the next few months to see how people are finding it now. And we're hoping to see that flexibility has continued.
Okay, now I just wanted to talk a little bit about, will the pandemic further develop an international society with connections being made globally for work and travel, or are we drawing back towards a national lifestyle focus where people are living and working in their own country and are not stepping out beyond the border?
I think that we can't break those international aspects that we have now. I think there's some scary right-wing nationalism things happening globally that have been happening for a while now. But I don't necessarily see the general trend back to that nationalism. I think, yes, we're all enjoying our own country at the moment because that's all where we can travel. And I think some people I've heard, you know, again, anecdotally, you know, rediscovering travelling around in different places around New Zealand. But I think we will continue to be international. International travel may change, but I think definitely the international connectivity remains. And I do, and I know a number of people do a lot by Zoom now, so there's many different webinars that we participate in globally. In fact, that's probably enabled more globalisation and connectivity because it's so normal now just to do a webinar and with Australian colleagues and I've got some Finnish colleagues as well, so it's not necessarily you're changing any of that. It's just changing the way that we might connect. So I personally would not like to see the internationalisation change, and I'm not seeing it change from my perspective.
Okay, and then finally, I know I read in the article with RNZ that you were involved in earlier this year, talking a little bit about that idea of going back to normal, that a lot of people are going, oh, I can't wait till 2021 when things are back to normal. What are your thoughts on that sort of idea?
I don't think we'll go back to normal. I think that we'll have a new normal, and we seem to be having many new normals, so maybe there's just the next normal. I think business as usual has changed, and I think that the changes we see on the horizon will challenge business as usual even more. So things like climate change, for example, and thinking about mitigating it and adapting to climate change mean that we're going to have to continually change as a society and our economic system. So I think, and I do really get quite concerned when people talk about going back to normal, because I think we're not going to, and we need to get ready as a society to think about what that new normal might be for Aotearoa New Zealand, and just what, you know, what, how we move away from many of these low-paid, low-skilled work to actually think about what we're going to be doing in the future.
I just have one follow-up question with that, that the that idea of going back to normal, I suppose, perhaps has a economic focus. It's that people are calling for prioritising the economy in our recovery and going back to exactly the way we're doing it because that'll keep the economy going. However, if that isn't going to be something we go back to anymore, are we looking towards a more sustainable future despite the fact that people still want to go back to the way it was and be really economy industrial focused?
Yeah, well, I mean, I see that we have an opportunity to move away from that because we're pretty much hitting up against many of the limits of that style of economy. You know, our waterways from our dairying, we were pretty much almost up at limits with tourism. You know, without it, our tourism numbers starting to spoil the experience that our tourists are having. So, you know, I'm going to key areas in the South Island, it's just overrun. So some of our key industries have relied on often low-skilled, high-volume, low-cost. And I just think as a country, we can do better than that. And so I feel we were hitting up against some pretty big boundaries anyway with what we were doing. So it's time to go, well, actually, if we really start thinking about it, how do we still maintain some tourist dollar, but actually make sure that we're creating the experience that suits us as a country and the tourists coming in, rather than many of those tourism dollars heading overseas, you know, because they're renting vans that might employ people in New Zealand, but actually the main profits are going overseas. So there's lots of different things that I think we need to think about as a country. But I feel that we have some opportunities around things like circular economies and thinking about how we start to shift the way that we do things. And this is, you know, really prevalent in the EU, and companies are starting to really think about their resource productivity instead of just always focusing on our labour productivity. So we can start to change things. I mean, this is quite radical, I suppose, but it's the time when we can do that and we can see opportunity coming through this.
That was a 95BFM podcast. To hear more, head to 95BFM.com/bcasts.